WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Mystery is my hobby. Today's story began in New York shortly after Christmas. I'd received a phone call from an Ambrose Carlton, and had asked him to come to my apartment for a consultation.
Yes, you are Barton Drake?
Yes, and you're Ambrose Carlton. Will you come in, please?
Thank you. Oh, you have company. Mr. Drake, I ask especially...
Yes, I know. You asked especially to see me alone. However, since if I decide to take your case, Inspector Danton would work with me, I thought it would save time and bother if I asked him to come to my apartment to listen to your story.
This, then, is Inspector Noel Danton, your co-worker.
That's right. And how are you, Mr. Carlton?
Good evening, Inspector. Well, Mr. Drake, have you given any thoughts to my proposition?
I have, and I'm in favor of it.
Splendid. And you, Mr. Drake?
Well, I share the inspector's enthusiasm for a trip south, and yet...
Yet you doubt the credulity of my story?
No, not at all. I don't for the moment question the value of your original paintings, or the fact that someone's trying to steal them.
Oh, but why not forget for once that murder's your hobby? Let's go down to Florida and sit in the sun and watch the bathing beauties bathe.
Florida bathing beauties, Inspector. Never bathe.
Never bathe? Now, wait a minute,
Bart. I mean, of course, in the ocean, Inspector.
Oh.
Mr. Drake, the man who is attempting to steal my paintings is Brian Quirk.
Hmm? You're sure of that?
Brian Quirk? Hey, that is something. He's the most famous international crook out of captivity.
You're quite right, Inspector Danton. He would stop at nothing to obtain possession of my Rembrandts.
And what makes you so positive, Mr. Carlton, that it's Quirk who's attempting to steal your paintings?
Quirk himself has told me so.
Quirk told you so?
Yes. On several occasions, Brian Quirk has called me on the phone and stated flatly that he intends to possess my paintings.
Mm, Quirk is noted for that sort of thing. He's a shrewd operator.
3 days ago, Mr. Drake, one of my servants was murdered.
Murdered? Well, now you're talking our language. Shall I make our reservations by...
Just a minute, Inspector. Huh? Have you reported this murder to the police, Mr. Carlton?
Of course. They investigated and learned nothing except that Leopold was shot by a man who was attempting to steal the paintings.
How do you know that?
Leopold was not killed instantly. He lived long enough to explain that he had been attacked while on guard in the very room where the pictures are kept.
I see. And the police have been unable to uncover any clues that might lead to the identity of the murderer?
The identity of the murderer is already known, Mr. Drake. Ryan Quirk left his calling card. A note pinned to the floor with a dagger.
Say, I saw that gag work in the movies once. It was called The Clutching Hand or The Hooded Terror or something like that.
I assure you, this is no movie, Inspector Denton.
Oh.
So the police have abandoned any further attempts to run down Brian Quirk. Is that right, Mr. Carlton?
Well, I can't blame them. They did what they could. Obviously, this man Quirk is shrewd beyond human conception.
No man is that shrewd, Mr. Carlton. All criminals are possessed with at least one weakness. I imagine that weakness with Brian Quirk is his vanity. Eventually, it'll lead to his downfall.
Well, I hope you're right. Frankly, Quirk's attitude is something of a challenge. I dislike to think that he can outsmart me.
Yes, but on the other hand, you have your other servants to consider. If more murders result from Quirk's attempt to steal your paintings, you will feel personally responsible.
Mr. Drake, it will be worth $10,000 to me if you'll come to Florida and take over my case.
$10,000? That's a lot of dough, Bart.
Yes, it is, Inspector.
If at the end of a week's time you feel that apprehending Brian Quirk is beyond your ability... I will pay you the $10,000, and you may return to New York.
Hey, that's fair enough, Bart.
And what of your paintings, Mr. Carlton?
Well, I suppose I shall have to dispose of them. I can't continue to be responsible for the lives of the people in my employ.
Splendid. Inspector, make reservations on the first available plane to Miami.
For God's sake, can't you drive easier?
Sorry, Inspector. These swamp roads here in the Everglades weren't built for automobile travel.
Well, what were they built for? And what does Carlton have to live way out here in the jungle for anyway? And why didn't he meet us at the airport?
Inspector, I think you're annoyed because you didn't get a chance to watch the bathing beauties.
I'm not annoyed. I'm doggone sore about it.
Hey, Inspector, you're magnificent.
Yeah? Well, why didn't Carlton tell us he lived way to heck and gone out of here instead of in a nice, cool, stucco Bronco bungalow on Miami Beach like any sensible man would.
I suspect that Mr. Carlton didn't want to discourage us, Inspector.
Discourage us? I've been discouraged ever since we stepped off that plane.
I guess this is it.
Well, for crying out loud. Look at that wall with the barbed wire on top.
Yes. And Mr. Carlton said he had his home protected against thieves. I guess this was what he meant. There's the house beyond the wall.
Yeah. You can barely make it out in this dim light. Listen. What's that?
It's the voice of the swamp, Inspector. Come on, let's go up and announce ourselves before it gets completely dark.
I don't know why Carlton couldn't have left that iron gate open so we could drive up to the house.
I imagine Brian Quirk was disappointed also, Inspector. The gate seems to be locked.
Yeah, there's a rope hanging through the slot. Shall I give it a yank?
Yes, it's probably a latch string.
Here goes. The jumping Judas, what's that?
It sounds like an alarm bell. Here comes someone.
Yeah, he came out of that little house. Hey, he's got a gun.
He's probably one of Mr. Carlton's guards. He's a regular giant, isn't he? Hello there.
The alarm bell rings and Carlo comes quick.
Yeah, well, shut it off. It's getting on my nerves.
Si, senor. You are senors Drake and Danton, si?
That's right. We're Drake and Danton. Mr. Carlton's expecting us.
Si. I will open the gate.
Thank you.
Be careful, senors. There are many traps about.
Traps? What does Carlton take us for, a couple of wolves?
The wolves are all over on Miami Beach, Inspector.
Very funny.
You will follow me, senors, please.
Hey, Bart, I don't like this.
What don't you like about it, Inspector?
It's spooky.
Oh?
Look at the way those vines are crawling over the house. And listen to those noises. They're not real.
Come, come, Inspector. Let's not allow our imagination to run away with us.
Hey, listen.
Yes, I hear it.
Now, don't tell me that's my imagination. That's organ music.
It certainly is, Inspector.
You will follow me, please.
Come on, Inspector.
Hey, is someone coming from the house?
Yes. Oh, it's Mr. Carlton. Are you disappointed because it isn't a spook, Inspector?
Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to Hurricane Manor. I must express my regrets at not being able to meet your plane.
You're not half as regretful as we are. Look, Mr. Carlton, why didn't you tell us you lived way out here in the swamp?
For the very reason that that unhappy expression is on your face, Inspector Danton.
Unhappy? Me?
You're disappointed in my home. If I'd explained where I'd lived, you might have refused to accept my proposition.
The inspector's only disappointed, Mr. Carlton, because he was unable to see the bathing beauties of Miami Beach.
Well, that will come later. Very well, Carlos. Return to your post.
Si, senor.
I'm glad to get rid of that guy. He looks like a zombie.
Carlos is my most reliable servant. Come along, gentlemen. Dinner is waiting. And then I want you to see my paintings.
Well, I got to admit that your cook knows how to put together a meal, Mr. Carlton.
Thank you, Inspector. Jose will be pleased. Are there any questions you'd like to ask before we look at the paintings, Mr. Drake?
Yes, several. Just as a matter of curiosity, we heard organ music as we came up the wall.
That was Laura. She's my secretary.
Uh-huh.
She plays beautifully, doesn't she?
Yeah, but sad. What's the matter? Is she unhappy about something?
I'm afraid that the atmosphere of Hurricane Manor creates a sad mood, Inspector.
That I can understand.
Laura is very young and beautiful. She doesn't like it here, and I can't blame her.
Then why does she remain?
The answer to that is simple. I need a secretary. Laura needs money. And I can afford to pay her a large salary.
I see. I suppose that living in this remote section of the Everglades is part of your plan to frustrate Brian Quirk's attempt to steal your paintings.
That's exactly right, Mr. Drake. Frustrating Brian Quirk has become an obsession with me. I will stop at nothing to capture the man.
And Quirk will stop at nothing to obtain possession of your paintings.
Correct. It's become a sort of game with us.
I see. That's why you brought the paintings to this old house and challenged Brian Quirk to steal them.
Yes, and he will accept the challenge, too. This is to be the showdown between Brian Quirk and myself. Come along. I want you to see my paintings.
Look, Mr. Carlton, how many more of these halls have we got to walk down? I'm getting tired.
Inspector Danton, you flatter me.
Flatter you? What do you mean? I only asked a simple question.
Yeah, but a very pointed question. Would you believe that this is the third time we walked down the same hall within the past 5 minutes?
Are you kidding?
Oh, not at all. Rooms and corridors are so arranged that a stranger can easily become lost. Walking you down this same hall three times was the test.
I suppose that's all part of your plan to confound Brian Quirk. Is that right, Mr. Felton?
Exactly. And here's another.
What? That door? What's confounding about that?
I'll show you. Open the door, Inspector.
Huh? Open. Okay.
Jumping Judas.
You see?
Well, that's very ingenious. I suppose all of the doors in the house are equally well equipped with burglar alarms.
Not only the doors, Mr. Drake, but the wire atop the wall that surrounds the place. And all of the windows.
With that kind of a setup, what are you scared of?
Brown Quirk succeeded in getting over the wall once, Inspector Danton. He murdered one of my servants. It was only because he touched off one of the alarms at a downstairs window that he failed to get inside the house.
Yeah, but...
The alarms on the windows ring bells all over the house and in the guardhouses. They also switch on automatic floodlights.
And still Quirk got away. The man is a genius.
There's one thing that puzzles me, Mr. Carlton. If all the doors in the house are equipped with alarms, why is it that they don't ring when you or someone else opens them?
Because of this. You see, it is possible to open the doors without touching off the alarm.
But your servants?
I alone know the combination. Whenever I wish the servants to move about the house, I temporarily disconnect the system. Except for the one in this room.
Oh, then it's here where your paintings are kept.
Yes. Step this way, please.
Thank you.
I'll turn on the lights. There they are, hanging on the wall.
By Jove, they are beautiful.
Not bad at that. Say, the guy who painted those things must be a comer, all right.
Rembrandt was the greatest master of them all, Inspector.
You're fortunate to have such valuable possessions, Mr. Carlton.
Well, I hope that the time will come when I can feel fortunate, Mr. Drake. Since I bought them a year ago, they've brought me nothing but grief.
I see what you mean. By the way, did you install the indirect lighting system that brings up the rich color tones?
Yes. You see, the wall paneling being dark, it is necessary...
Hey, what's that? It
sounded like a scream.
There it goes again.
Good heavens, it must be Laura. She... Good Lord, gentlemen. Brown Quirk has arrived. This way. Scream came from the organ room.
Better get out the gun, Inspector.
Don't worry, I got it out.
Here we are.
Jump and Judas, there's a girl lying on the floor.
It's Laura. Laura. Laura.
I don't think she's hurt, Mr. Carlton. Probably fainted.
Yeah. She's breathing all right. Whoever fired the shot must have missed.
Lift up her head, Inspector.
Okay.
Mr. Carlton, I think you'd better get back to your paintings of Brian Quirk.
Oh, George, you're right. What am I thinking of? Take care of Laura.
Turn off those goddamn alarm bells.
Careful, Inspector. Here, you better carry the girl over to this couch.
Yeah, good idea. I wonder what's scared her.
Never mind that now. Put her down easily.
Putting her down easily. Well, thank gosh those bells are stopped.
The girl's eyes are opening, Inspector.
Yeah. I think she is good looking, isn't she?
She's beautiful. Feeling better, Laura? You are, Laura, aren't you?
Oh, where am I? What happened?
You're safe now. You better not try to get out just yet.
Just lie back and take it easy, lady.
Who are you? What are you doing here? Keep away from
me. Just a minute.
Don't touch me. Let me go.
Don't try to get up, Laura. You're still weak.
Let me up. Keep your hands off me. Oh, I hate you. I hate you all.
Okay, so you hate us. Now, look.
Look out, Inspector. She has a gun.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. And I know how to use it, too. Now, stand back, both of you.
Okay. We're not arguing.
Don't move. I'll shoot if you do. I promise you I will.
Never mind promising, lady. We'll take your word for it.
Well, Inspector, she's gone.
Yeah, shall we go after her?
I don't think it would help much, even if we caught her.
No. If we found that one bullet had been fired from that gun she was holding, it would.
Why?
Why? Well, for God's sake, we'd know it was her who fired the shot, wouldn't we?
And how would that help us?
Well, we could ask her questions. Maybe she saw somebody. Maybe firing the shot was a gag.
I doubt if it were a gag, Inspector. Obviously, the girl had fainted, and just as obviously, she was frightened of us.
I'll say she was. I wonder why.
I think I know the answer to that one, Inspector. Come on, let's look around this room a bit.
You know the answer to that one. And what the heck do you mean?
Here's the organ. It's a beauty, isn't it?
Now, wait a minute, Bart. I asked you a question.
These windows are all equipped with the burglar alarm system. The wiring is plainly visible up there.
Okay, the heck with the alarm system. What do you mean you can answer that one?
The windows are all bolted on the inside, Inspector. How do you suppose the person who frightened Laura got into the room?
Doggone it, Bart, now I...
Well, perhaps it wasn't a person. What do you think, Inspector?
Bart, for the last time... What'd you say, Bart?
I said perhaps it wasn't a person who frightened Laura.
Huh? What do you mean, not a person? What else?
It's
spooks, Inspector.
Oh. Remember, you were worried about spooks a little while ago.
Mr. Drake! Inspector Danton, my paintings, they're gone! Someone has stolen my paintings!
You must see for yourself. I can't believe my eyes. It's incredible. It simply cannot be. There. Look.
They're gone, all right.
Yep, they're gone. The wall's as bare as Mother Hubbard's cupboard.
How could it have happened? How could it? Every door and window was protected with alarms. There were guards everywhere. When could it have happened?
I'm afraid the answer to that question is obvious, Mr. Carlton. It happened when we ran down the hall to investigate the shot and scream.
Say, that means that the babe must have been in on the deal. No wonder she acted so screwy.
That reasoning is ridiculous, Inspector Danton. Laura's character is absolutely impeccable. I had her investigated.
And what about your other servants, Mr. Carlton?
They're all beyond reproach. Besides, there is one thing that both of you have overlooked in your reasoning.
Yes, what's that? It
would be foolish of any of the servants to steal the paintings. They're too rare, too valuable. If offered for sale, they would be spotted immediately.
Wouldn't the same theory hold true if Brian Quirk...
No. Quirk is a man of culture and taste. He wants the paintings for their own pleasure, not for their monetary value.
I see. Well, Mr. Carlton, I don't think you'll have to worry about the loss of your paintings.
I'd worry about them? What the deuce are you saying, man?
Just this. Quirk apparently got into your house, but not without setting off the alarm system. Could he get out without causing a similar disturbance?
By George.
Say, he couldn't, could he? That means that guy must be floating around here somewhere.
Exactly. Now, I propose that you spread the alarm, Mr. Carlton. And, Inspector, we conduct an immediate search of the grounds. A man with two large paintings in his arms would have little chance of escaping unnoticed.
Hey, Bart.
Yes, Inspector?
I thought we were going to hunt for Brian Quirk. Doggone it, all you've done since we got out here is to walk around peering into windows.
I'm not peering into windows.
No?
Inspector.
Well, then what are you doing?
I'm checking the burglar alarms, Inspector.
Checking the burglar alarms? For God's sake, why? We know they work.
Well, there might be one that doesn't. Suppose one of Carlton's servants were in cahoots with Quirk. He might have disconnected the system on one of the windows.
Now, wait a minute, Bart. That isn't what you're doing.
It isn't? Why, Inspector?
Because we know that one of the servants didn't disconnect the system. How do we know it? Because the whole doggone system went off when Quirk entered the house.
You caught up with me that time, didn't you, Inspector?
Yeah, I caught up with you. Now, what the heck are you up to? What do you mean,
I found it.
Found what, for crying out loud?
I found the... Inspector.
Yeah? What's the matter?
Someone's coming. Step back into the shadows.
Okay. Hey, it's the girl.
Yes. She looks more frightened than ever.
Yeah, look at the way she's sneaking along.
Mr. Drake.
She's calling you, Bart.
All right, Laura. Over here.
Oh, Mr. Drake, is that you?
Yeah, that's him and me, too.
Oh, thank heaven. I've been looking everywhere for you.
Now, there's one for the book. The last time we saw you, you couldn't get away fast enough.
Why, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah, we're sorry, too, but look, lady.
Inspector.
Huh?
What was it that you didn't know, Laura?
I didn't know who you were, not really.
Oh, you didn't? Well, how do you know now?
I heard you and Mr. Carlton talking in the room where the paintings were taken.
Oh, eavesdropping, eh? Well...
Inspector, will you stop your prattling for a minute and let Laura talk?
Now, listen, Bart. Keep quiet.
Huh? So when you found out who we were, you came looking for us. Why, Laura?
Because... Oh, Mr. Drake, I'm frightened. I want to get away from here. I thought you might help me.
What were you frightened of, Laura?
I don't know. The very atmosphere of the place. There's something dreadfully wrong.
Oh, yes, but something particular must have happened to make you afraid.
It did. 2 weeks ago, Leopold was murdered. And then tonight when I was playing the organ...
Yes, exactly what happened when you were playing your organ.
I'm not sure exactly. I felt that someone was behind me, just standing there, and I was petrified. I didn't know what to do. So I kept on playing with one hand and tried to reach into my pocket for the gun that Mr. Carlton had given me. And just as I turned, the alarm started. I fired the gun and then I guess I fainted.
But you didn't actually see anyone?
No. Oh, I don't know. There might have been someone. It was terrible.
Oh, you poor kid. Now, look, there's just one more question I'd like to ask, Laura.
Yes?
Why haven't you given up your job and gone back to Miami before now?
I wanted to, but Mr. Carlton begged me to stay. He raised my salary and gave me the gun and showed me how to use it. Mm-hmm. He was awfully nice. He said that if another attempt were made to steal the paintings, he wouldn't try to hold me any longer.
Well, Laura, I think that after tonight, your troubles will be over. Inspector?
Inspector?
Yeah, what do you want?
What the deuce is the matter with you?
Oh, you mean I can speak now?
Do I mean you could... Oh, Inspector, you're magnificent. See here, both of you.
Yeah, what is it?
This is the spot where the wires connecting Mr. Carlton's alarm system enter the house.
So what?
So in a minute, Inspector, I want you to get out your jackknife, bare the wires, press them together, and set off the alarm.
You want to hear the bells ring again,
eh? Don't get sarcastic, Inspector. Laura, the minute the alarm starts, the guards will come running. I want you and the inspector to pretend that you saw someone running through the shrubbery toward the wall and give chase with him.
Well, I'll do my best.
Fine. And you, Inspector?
Okay, okay. But what is the great Barton Drake going to be doing all this time?
Believe it or not, Inspector, the great Barton Drake is going to be returning Ambrose Carlton's paintings to the spot where we first saw them hanging.
Just a minute, Mr. Carlton. It wasn't our fault Brian Quirk got away.
Whose fault was it, then? You were both outside the house when the alarms went off.
Well, you were outside, too, and so were all your guards.
Laura, there's no point in you staying longer. If you'll come up to my study, I'll give you your check.
All right, you can ride back to town with us.
Oh, thank you, Inspector Danton.
Very decent of you, Danton.
Thanks.
I suppose your Mr. Drake will expect me to pay him the $10,000 I promised, even though my paintings have been stolen.
I'll expect you to pay me the $10,000, Mr. Carlton. But not because your paintings have been stolen.
Where the devil did you come from, Drake? And what do you mean by that remark?
Which remark, Mr. Carlton? About your paintings? They haven't been stolen, you know.
Haven't been stolen? Nonsense. You saw with your own eyes.
Come in here, please. This is the room where the paintings were kept, isn't it?
How the devil did you know?
Your complicated system of rooms and hallways isn't as complicated as they at first seemed, Mr. Carlton. Look over there, please.
Good heavens. The paintings.
Hanging right where they were before. Well, I'll be an oversized crocodile.
But how did you do it?
Before I answer that, Inspector, I want to explain how I solved the 2-week-old murder of Leopold, Mr. Carlton's servant.
Solved? Drake, you don't mean that you
yes,
know...
Yes, I do mean, Mr. Carlton. I'll explain by asking a few questions. First, why didn't Brian Quirk steal the paintings on the day when he gained admission to the grounds and murdered Leopold?
Well, I can answer that.
I prefer that you didn't, Mr. Carlton. I have my own answer.
But look here.
The reason he didn't want the paintings stolen is because he couldn't dispose of them if he did steal them.
But I've already explained...
Not to my satisfaction, you haven't, Mr. Carlton. Second, how did Quirk gain admission to Hurricane Manor? You've made the place impregnable, Mr. Carlton. You were too thorough.
What do you mean? The alarms did...
The alarms had nothing to do with Quirk's visit. Quirk was already inside.
Ridiculous.
Not ridiculous, Mr. Carlton. Clever. There's only one man who would benefit by the theft of your painting. He could do so only if the paintings were insured against burglary. And the only burglar who would attempt to steal them would be a man such as Brian Quirk, who would keep them for their beauty's sake.
I see. And I suppose you know the identity of Brian Quirk?
Yes, I do, Mr. Carlton. You are Brian Quirk.
Mr. Drake, it's so good to get away from that terrible place. I can hardly believe it.
Yes, I can appreciate your point of view, Laura.
I think it's wonderful the way you figured out that Mr. Carlton was really Brian Quirk.
Thank you, Laura.
And I also think it was wonderful the way you took the gun away from him when he tried to shoot Inspector Danton.
Thank you again, Laura.
There's one thing that bothers me, though.
Oh? What's that?
How did you know the paintings were hidden in a false panel behind the real panels where they were originally hung?
There are several reasons. Carlton, or Brian Quirk, had gone to elaborate plans to have his paintings legitimately stolen. The murder of Leopold and the soundings of the alarms, they were all designed to give an impression that someone was definitely after them.
And Mr. Carlton knew that even he couldn't get the stolen goods out of the house, so he decided to hide them in the house itself.
That's right. You were part of the plan to make everything seem logical. Because of all that had happened, you were certain that someone was actually trying to get into the house and steal the paintings, isn't that so?
Oh, yes. I'd become so jittery that I kept imagining things. How did you know the paintings were hidden behind the panel?
Well, for one thing, when pictures are removed from the wall on which they've been hanging for some time with light on them, there's always a faint outline of their shape.
And there were no outlines on the false panel?
That's right. Also, the pictures were hung from brackets in the molding above. And there was no sign of a bracket when the false panel appeared. I was quite sure that Brian Quirk would never stop to remove the bracket.
Oh, Mr. Drake, you're simply wonderful.
Oh, nice.
Oh, well. You're still there, are you, Inspector? Gotten over your gripe yet?
No.
No? Well, you will, I'm sure, when we reach Miami Beach.
Are we going to stop there?
Of course, Inspector. We've got to have a look at those bathing beauties.
Say, but that's swell.
But, Mr. Drake, I thought that...
Not at all, Laura. Not when I have such charming company as you. Not when there are bathing beauties to observe. It's going to be a pleasure to forget that mystery is my hobby.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Good morning. It's the 21st of April, 2021. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Went ahead and skipped an introduction and just jumped right into it. That was Mystery is My Hobby, and it was titled The Stolen Rembrandts. I played that because I was hearing a lot of chatter about the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum painting thefts, and they were Rembrandts that were stolen. That happened in 1990. But as for the radio drama itself, there's not much known about it. I wasn't able to figure out what the original air date was. I know it started out as Murder is My Hobby, but then there was some sort of an issue with the title, with the sponsor, but it aired from 1945 to 1947 or 1948. Again, not too much is known about the production of this show, except that it starred Glenn Langan. So, for the second half of the program, I'm going to play a drama titled, the show's title is Counter Spy. The title of the program is Spy Sub. This had an original air date of the 14th of September, 1942. This was produced by Phillips H. Lord, who was instrumental in producing and directing the famous radio drama Gangbusters. I have yet to play a Gangbusters on the Grand Hour, but maybe down the road. So anyway, we'll go ahead and start that. Thanks for listening.
Harding, counter spy, calling Washington. Harding, counter spy, calling Washington.
The Blue Network presents Phillips H. Lord's Counter Spy. A counter spy is a United States undercover agent whose duty it is to smash the professional enemy spies operating in our midst. Imagine ace counter spy of them all as David Harding.
Those are the footsteps of Liza Gott as she walks along the narrow, rocky path which runs on top of a high cliff, looking out over the sea on the northern coast of Maine. 42 years ago, Liza Gott married. Mark Gott, her husband, sailed away and was drowned. For 41 years, Liza Gott has kept a little kerosene lantern lit on her front porch, so just in case Mark should return, he'd see the lighted lantern from the sea and know she was waiting.
Well.
Liza Gott is nearing her little house on the top of the cliff where she stays alone. Liza sees something. Something on her front porch. She can see it by the light of the lantern.
That's funny. I didn't leave nothing on the front porch. It looks like a man. It is a man. What are you doing on my front porch?
Oh.
Wake up! Oh. I says, what you doing lying on my front porch?
Oh, I was just lying here. I'm exhausted. Guess I fell asleep.
You're a stranger.
Yes. I've had a narrow escape. I landed here in a lifeboat. Saw your lantern lit, so I came up here. When I found nobody was in, I was too tired to go anywhere else.
What happened to you?
I was in a small Norwegian lumber schooner. There were five of us. Just off the Horseshoe Reefs, we were torpedoed. I got the lifeboat over alone. The others were killed in the blast. I was way after. I'd have been killed, too.
One of those terrible German or Japanese submarines?
Yes, it happened yesterday morning. I've been rowing for land ever since. Then I heard a bellboy. And about an hour later, I landed on the beach, down there.
Hmm. You've had a terrible time, ain't you?
Could you give me a little food? Let me stay here tonight?
Come in. You've got to be took care of.
Thank you.
I'll have to light up a light.
Shall I bring in the lantern?
No, sir. That lantern stays there lit under all conditions. And it ain't never going out nor being took in. So long as I'm conscious. There. Now you can see.
I'm sorry to trouble you.
Ain't no trouble at all.
May I inquire your name?
Liza Gott. And it's got two T's and no E before the L. Liza, not Eliza. What's your name?
Berkman. Frank Berkman.
You look pretty tuckered. Here. Now just lie down here on this sofa and make yourself comfortable.
Oh, I have been through a good deal.
Well, now you stretch right out. Put your head up here. And your feet down there. Now, are you quite sure you're comfortable?
Oh, I never was more comfortable in my life.
Well, that's good. There. Now you can rest in peace. Danny, this is Liza. Get me quick as you can the counter-spy headquarters in Washington. And I want to speak to the head of it, no young stripling.
You go on, Daffy.
Do as I tell you, Fanny. Get me the head of the counter-spies.
Well, I still think you're Daffy, but I'll ring them.
Fanny, ain't you got Washington yet?
Yeah, we got counter-spy headquarters, but... they're getting ahead of it. I said it was a calamity.
Hello. This is Harding speaking.
This is Liza Gott, a Loganberry Point, Maine. I've caught me a spy.
Pardon me. Would you say that again?
I'm Liza Gott, a Loganberry Point, Maine. And I've caught me a spy.
Well, naturally, I'm a little dumbfounded. Where is he?
Well, lying on the sofa over there.
But if he hears you, why doesn't he get up?
What? You ain't see the condition he's in.
Is he unconscious?
Very.
And how do you know he's a spy?
Well, he told me about rowing alone and hearing our bellboy at the Narrows. and then row in an hour and land in on our beach. Well, I was born here, and I know this coast, and there ain't nobody rowing from the bellboy at the reef to this shore on an ebb tide in 1 hour. He's a prevaricator.
What is Loganberry Point near?
Ain't near nothing. The nearest place is Stuyvesant. Well, that ain't near nothing either.
Well, this is very unusual. But I'll leave my plane immediately and get to Loganberry Point somehow.
Very nice of you, Captain Stinson, to drive me over to Loganberry Point. The plane couldn't seem to find a nearer landing place.
No?
You don't suppose, do you, Captain, that the horse might trot a little?
I'm not much worried about it.
No. I mean, could you make her trot?
No. I put her out to pasture when she was 22. She's been out there 8 years now. I had to call her back into harness when the gas rationing went in. She has not troubled stand up. Say nothing of trotting.
I see. Do you happen to know Eliza Gott over at Loganberry Point, Captain Simpson?
Yep.
Is she quite a responsible person?
Salt of the earth.
I just thought I'd visit her.
You mean room there?
Yes.
You don't know Eliza.
What do you mean?
You'll find out when you get there.
Come right in, Mr. Harden.
Thank you, Mrs. Gutt. I took a plane as far as Stuyvesant and then had to drive over. Where is this man you captured?
In the woodshed.
Woodshed?
That's where he is. No man but my past husband ever spent a night under this roof. And there ain't no man ever going to. Don't you want to put down your suitcase?
Oh, no, thank you. I have some equipment in it.
Oh. Now, you'll have to go the rest of the way yourself. He's right in there, laid out on a cord of wood. I ain't going into no woodshed with no two men.
All right, Mrs. Gott. I'll go look. Sort of the worse for wear. Come on. Come on.
Go away.
Now, come on, sit up. Yeah, sit up.
Oh, it's you. Are you the man she'd been waiting for?
Yes.
Then get me out of here. I had to pretend I was unconscious, or she'd have killed me.
What do you mean?
After she dragged me out here, she'd come out every hour. And if I was conscious, she'd hit me over the head with that piece of stove wood. Knock me out. Look at my head.
I can't tell how much of it is your head and how much is bumps on top of your head.
She'd hit me over the head just as cool and systematic as though she were a pile driver.
Let me have your fingers. I want to take your prints.
No.
You'd better, or I might call Mrs. Gott back. Oh, that's better. I'll telephone your prints to Washington, and we'll see who you really are.
G6, Counter Spy Headquarters, Washington, reporting to Harding. The fingerprints you just telephoned in are prints of Dr. Slesson, who left San Francisco for Portugal 18 months ago. He was employed in the Stillwell plants while they were experimenting on cargo-carrying air transports. It looks like Dr. Slesson is the one we have been expecting the Gestapo to try and smuggle into the country. Come in.
I'm glad to know it's Slesson that we've got. Quite obvious, Slesson has been sent in to secure all possible information on the newly contemplated cargo-carrying transport. This is a job the Gestapo probably allowed him about a week to complete. And then they must have made arrangements to get him out. I'll check with you later tonight. Well, Berkman or Schlesen, you just heard that conversation. We know who you are and why you're here.
I guess there isn't any sense to my denying. After all the plans, I had to bump into that woman.
You going to talk?
No.
I see. Well, as the people of Logan Murray Point would say, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Martha! Martha! Church bell's ringing. Something's up. Put it on your hat, Martha, the one with the yellow ribbon.
The church bell's ringing, and it ain't go to meeting night. They must be calling it for something special. You have been called to the church here at the request of Mr. Harding concerning an important matter. I am proud to see every person of Loganberry Point present. Mr. Harding of Washington.
Citizens of Loganberry Point, I know you're all aware of the circumstances of the German spy who landed and was apprehended here.
He means cops.
Yeah.
Now, our government knows why he was sent here. His mission would ordinarily take him a week. It is logical to expect he would be returned to Germany by the same route he arrived. Now, this part of the coast was selected because it's very sparsely populated. The Gestapo evidently believed landing here would be very simple. By all logic, I expect arrangements have been made by the submarine to pick him up at this very place within the week.
Did you ever hear of it?
All of you men present are lobster fishermen or go out hand lining and setting trot lines. You know the reefs and shoals like your own backyard. You can weave in and out of them on the blackest nights and in the thickest fog. I'm calling for volunteers. Every night I want six fishermen to pretend that their motors have gone back on them and remain out there in their launches. Now, it's a dangerous undertaking. There's a chance you might be captured and even tortured for information. How many of you men are willing to volunteer? This is a sight I wish every American could see. Some of you are over 80, some in your teens. Not a man in this church who isn't standing.
We are breaking water, Herr Kapitän. Making the surface.
Gut. Machen Sie auf.
It is very foggy and dark, Herr Kapitän. We are among the reefs. I suggest you come on deck.
Aufpassen. Ich komme sofort. Bleiben Sie bei den Motoren.
Get a hold of it. Get the ropes around it.
What's going on? What is that?
Throw me that rope or I will shoot.
When we surfaced, we came up right alongside that little fishing boat. There is a fisherman on it.
Good. Bring him aboard. We will question him about these waters. Take him down to the control room.
He looks like an old man.
Get him below.
Bring him aft. The captain wants him below decks in the control room.
Blackout ship.
Jawohl, Herr Kapitän.
Charge batteries. Hans Borgmann will soon be here.
He smells fish all over him. Get down there, you fish!
Well, what are you doing out in your boat? Late at night in the fog.
I was doing me a mess of fishing. My cussed motor broke down.
So? Perhaps it didn't break down. Perhaps you're out here spying.
You think they'd give me an important job like that? An old seaman over 70? See, with a wooden leg.
Yeah, you're right. You are too old. What's your name?
Stinson. Captain Egbert R. Stinson.
So you're a captain? Captain of fish, perhaps?
Well, if you understand, sir, for 50 years I was captain of sailing ships. And I never lost a one.
Yeah? If you are so good, where are we right now?
In the devil of a fog, if that'll help you.
You know what I mean. What's our location? How far off Horseshoe Reef are we?
You're a quarter mile northeast of it.
You're lying.
I know it.
So you dare lie. I think we can take care of that. Mate, a hot iron from the galley.
But I will get Zariah first, Nick.
I never see a room with so many gadgets in it before. We didn't need all these wires on a sailing ship.
How far are we from the lighthouse?
Lighthouse? Oh, let me see. As the crow flies, I think I'd say about 1,000,000 miles.
You talk. You will talk plenty.
All right, I'll talk, you dirty vermin. The sea is clean. It's decent. Not a fowl like the likes of you. Before you're through, you and this rotten hook will be at the bottom of the sea. But the fish won't trouble your carcasses. There isn't one fowl enough to eat you. Curse you and all your foul kills. There.
Sit on that fire axe, if he kill you.
Go ahead, shoot. Against the sea. There. Keep on shooting. Keep on. I'll have it all finished before you can kill me.
There is Fanzini, Gordon. Hold steady for it. Kill him.
What is the matter?
Shoot this crazy fool.
Come near and I'll chop your head off.
Look, idiot. Crazy fool. 6 bullets to stop him. Have the chief engineer and electrician both come to central control at once.
Jawohl, Herr Kapitän. Chief engineer, electrician, report to central control at once. Inspect, repair damage.
Rig for hand control. Will we see what that maniac has done to our automatic gear?
Herr Kapitän, the master rheostat is damaged. Impossible to say how long it will take to repair. Main periscope eyepiece also is broken.
The depth indicator dial is completely wrecked, Herr Kapitän.
How long will it take to repair?
2 or 3 hours, Herr Kapitän.
The compressed airline is breached. Several hours to repair. Also, main ballast hand valve jammed.
Verflucht noch einmal! All this damage with the axe. Hello?
This is Elmer Greeley reporting from the lighthouse. Is that you, Mr. Harden?
Yes.
The submarine's out here.
Good. Good. What are the facts?
Well, Red Gogan's just landed. His boat was lying about a quarter of a mile from old Captain Stinson's. He heard the sub come up, and they evidently captured Captain Stinson and took him on board.
Go on.
Oh, Red stuck around a few minutes, and he heard a lot of commotion, and then men trying to get the submarine to go down. It sounded like it couldn't, like something had happened. So Red paddled his launch far enough away so they couldn't hear his motor, and then got to the lighthouse here.
Fine. I've got all the information I need right now. I want to hang up and then use this phone. Now, let's see. I turn this little crank here?
Yes, ring it long and loud. Sometimes Penny, the operator, lays down and takes naps.
Now, Miss Gott, would you run down the path and ring the church bell? Emergency.
Yes,
if the bell rings late at night, they know that to bring what guns they have and rush for the wharf.
Hello?
Oh, operator, get me that number I wrote out for you yesterday.
Oh, yes, Mr. Harding. Yes, sir.
Now, please hurry, Mrs. Gott. Have that church bell rung.
Over there, said 1 if I land and 2 if I see.
Naval control.
This is Harding reporting. Relay to destroyer Smithville. Proceed at once 1 mile southeast of Sand Island Light. German submarine on surface.
Immediately, sir.
Relay to Coast Guard. Carry out Plan 3, if possible, and fog does not prevent. Otherwise, Plan 2.
Immediately, sir.
Include in Navy message that because of present emergency, I'm going to try to get armed fishermen to submarine first. So if destroyer reaches submarine, watch for all clear signal, which will indicate presence of Americans on board.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
you with the slowest motorboat start out first.
Here's Sandy's gun. Some men take it.
I want all of you men to understand that this is an extraordinary situation. You're all volunteering on your own accord.
They all want to go.
Now, the reason we're taking things in our own hands is because it's so foggy the planes can't spot the sub. And it's too foggy for the destroyer to come in among these reefs until daybreak. Indications are that something's happened to that submarine, and it can't submerge. Would you say, Captain Lawson, that there was a very heavy swell out there near Horseshoe Ledge?
Plenty heavy. After a three-day nor'easter, they've got a roll out there that's standing them on their heads.
Well, that means the fire from the submarine will be very inaccurate. Now, when we sight her, you're all to fan out and make a circle around her. When you hear Captain Lawson blow his foghorn twice, head right for her. Start shooting and picking off the men manning the gun. With 30 launches coming at her in all directions and the fog and the heavy roll of the sea, she'll have her hands full. We'll all board her at the same time from all sides of her.
That squall is starting out.
All right, men, your launches. Good luck.
And remember, your women folk will be standing right here and awaiting.
That's her, Captain Lawson. A dark shape about 2 points to starboard.
Damn scum. Should I blow the foghorn twice?
No. Twice is to attack her. Blow it once, so they'll fan out and approach her from all sides. Now slow the motor. Give the others time to get around her.
I didn't realize how patriotic I'd be till I started thinking of them vermin setting foot on our shore.
I've never seen a thicker fog.
She spotted us. Shall I head for her?
No, she's only shooting at the sound of our motor.
Who are you? Hands off, or we shoot.
We won't reply. Let him stew.
Who are you?
Get ready, Captain Lawson, to blow your foghorn. Two blasts.
I ain't had so much fun since Liza's cow fell in the well.
All right. Found the signal.
Take the wheel, will you, Mr. Harding? Let me do a little gunning.
Go ahead. For the minute we touch her, jump aboard.
Try to land at Loganberry Point, will they? The whole German crew's on deck. Captain Mulligan's alongside.
Get that crew by the aft gun there!
They're falling like tenpins, Harding.
Just order! Let your own boat go so others can come alongside.
You understand, Commander, as we stand here in the control room of your submarine, that you and all your crew are prisoners of the United States.
Tja. Das ist zu erwarten. Krieg schon. I am helpless.
And there at your feet, an old sea captain with 12 bullet holes. Evidently kicked in the face after he was dead.
He was shoving at our controls with a fire axe. We had to shoot him. We shoot him 6 times before he fall.
Captain Stinson was a neighbor of mine.
What arm of the American forces have we been captured by?
The fishermen of Loganberry Point.
Mr. Hardy! United States destroyer approaching out of the fog, sir.
How in Sam Hill did a destroyer get in among these shoals on a night like this? That's real navigating for you.
What am I supposed to do now?
You're expected to surrender your submarine and your crew and yourself to the greatest navy in all the world.
His neighbors at Loganberry Point return the earthly remains of one who has lived among us for so many years. Captain Stinson, if he had had 1,000 lives, he would have chosen no other way to have given them all. And so, we of Loganberry Point not mournfully, but with pride in our hearts, say goodbye to a great American who lived as an American and died as one. God bless America, the land of the free.
David Harding is presented at the same time every Monday evening. We suggest that you tell your friends that you make it a weekly date to gather around the radio this time, as America's eighth counter spy works to protect us from the spies of our enemies. Counter Spy is a Phillips H. Lord production, which has originated in New York. This is the Blue Network.
Station WJZ New York, which brings you fun and excitement as you listen to the Sing for Dough program at 77 on your dial every Tuesday night at 8:30.
We heard Counter Spy, with the title of the drama being Spy Sub. That had an original air date of the 14th of September, 1942. Counter Spy. Yeah, that's what I said, I guess. It was produced by Phillips H. Lord, who was also known for Gangbusters. He produced and directed Gangbusters, and that in and of itself is interesting. We'll explore that here on the Grand Hour down the road. Counter Spy was completely fictitious show. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
Have a slice, oh mommy, may I? Daddy, please don't punish me. I didn't mean to eat the last piece. I am not prepared to die. I just wish I could hide here forever, here forever.
'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down